This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the Wisconsin State Senate and Assembly were busy passing bills yesterday. We'll check in with WPR State Government Reporter on the latest news from the State Capitol building.
First, farmers markets are up and running all over Wisconsin and the nation now. Maybe you've already made a visit, picked up some seedlings, some rhubarb, some asparagus.
Well, our next guests say local farmers markets can bring benefits above and beyond the fresh local produce for communities and their economies. And they've been going around the country trying to help communities put some numbers on those benefits as part of the Farmers Market Metric Project.
Alfonso Morales is with us now from the UW-Madison. He's an associate professor of urban and regional planning. Alfonso, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Rob. I'm very pleased to be with you all today.
Lauren Seworth is also working on the project. She's a PhD candidate in urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Alfonso, we talked to you back when you first kicked off this project. What kind of things are you trying to get at in this research about farmers markets?
Yes, you know, this has been an applied project. Our purpose is very, very much to empower market managers in collecting their own data, analyzing it, interpreting it, and reporting it to the folks that are most important in their jurisdictions, in their cities, in their towns, in their lives.
And Lauren, what kind of concrete things do you measure? I mean, there's a general sentiment about, oh, farmers market, they look pretty busy today. How are you trying to put that in measurable terms?
Well, we track the number of visitors that attend on a regular basis, sales, vendor sales is a big one, SNAP and WIC, so how much sales they're doing in those areas.
Mm-hmm. And so what then do they do with this? So when this project is done, they know how to measure what they're doing. What do they get out of it?
Right. I think one of the very important things that the project has produced is a justification for why a market should collect data to address that question. And among those justifications are things like you want to collect data in order to help you determine what goals to make and how to determine decisions about the market, how to make decisions about the market in the context of what you actually know about the market, not just opinion. Mm-hmm. So opinion's important, politics are important, but hard data can inform both.
And Lauren, ultimately, does this help a farmer's market organizer, manager, whoever's in charge, sell what they're doing, sell the benefits to their community?
Yes, it helps with marketing, so getting them to attract more people to the market by showing that all the produce that they have available. It also helps prove they're worthwhile, they're an added benefit, added value to the community, so to their city representatives, stakeholders, partners, and then also helps them attract more funding to make them a more viable and livelihood.
Now, Alfonso, I'm going to ask you a question that I know you're actually trying to figure out the answer to in this research, but from what we know, what are the benefits to a local community, big or small, of having a farmer's market?
Sure, I think we can characterize those benefits in four big categories. One, there's benefits to the local political participation and social life of the community. Markets are places where people gather, they discuss the events of the day, they see friends and neighbors, they make new acquaintances, they resolve old differences. Markets serve many social and political functions. Of course, they have the economic functions that we've begun to discuss just a bit. They have an ecological impact. And this is something that's under debate, but it's an important question to address, which is how is it that markets foster sustainability from an ecological point of view? How do they reduce the vehicle miles traveled, not just of consumers, but of producers? So benefits of those four categories are all important.
So economics, I can see how you put numbers on. A lot of those other things sound intangible. Have the two of you talked about how do you try to measure the civic impact, the first thing you mentioned, the community building impact?
So one of the things that we find in the markets is that all members of the project have visited markets in either recently or through the course of their experience. And from the project's perspective, one of the things that we're asking the market managers to do is respond to us every month with some information about what they've been doing in terms of data collection, in terms of what they've observed at the market. Another thing that we ask them to do is participate in a monthly call where they can impart stories about their activities to us. And we share those stories. Those stories are like pictures. They're worth 1,000 words, but their interpretations can vary depending upon who's seeing them. So we don't have, we don't try and reduce stories to numbers. But what we try and do is show how stories illustrate people's experience, how those stories help other people of very different personal experience or very different cities understand the same benefits that markets can have in their jurisdiction as they have in some other city.
Well, it seems like a good time to hear a story. One of the farmers markets that's part of your research, you've got ones around the country. I understand you're trying to get some going in Wisconsin added to the project, too. One is in Hernando, Mississippi, and we have Gia Matheny. She's involved in community development there and that market. Gia is on the line. Gia, hi.
Hi.
Well, tell us a little bit about your farmers market in Hernando, Mississippi, please.
Well, we're about 20 miles south of Memphis, and we are the largest farmers market in the state. And we differentiate ourselves because we are a Mississippi certified market, which means that the majority of our vendors at our market are agricultural producers. And we also go through an audit process with the Department of Agriculture each year to make sure that all of our producers are abiding by the cottage food laws, and they have the same strict requirements through the Department of Health. So we go above and beyond what some of the other markets in the state do.
Now, part of this research is trying to figure out, to help you figure out, the economic impact. But from where you're sitting, what's the value of your market for your local community there?
Well, I think a lot was said with Alfonso. I mean, there's more to the market than just fresh local food, which is our mission. But what we've heard from the patrons of the market is that they come there not only for the fresh food, but for the company, and they love to visit the crowds, the excitement of what's going on in the market. They see people that they only see at the market each week, and it becomes a friend of the week, and they see them each week, and they look forward to that experience.
And with this research, with what you're going to learn here, do you think you'll be better able to sell your community on those benefits?
Yes, I do. I don't think we've had a way to really capture that in numbers. And through this data collection project, I think we'll have something more substantial that we can communicate to our community.
Well, Gia, thank you so much for getting on the line with us today. That's Gia Matheny with the Farmers Market down in Hernando, Mississippi. We'll bring back in now Alfonso Morales and Lauren Seward. They're doing research on farmers markets and their impact around the country. So another one of those intangibles, Lauren. It's not just a place to buy produce. It's the place where you, and I've encountered this, experiences at farmers markets here in Wisconsin. That's the only place you see some people every week. Is that part of the value as you see it? Are you going to include this in the research somehow?
Well, we always strive to include those anecdotal components into the research. We're also trying to capture some of that through a little bit more data components by tracking the type of events that they host and the turnout, the numbers, participation in there. So we're trying to do well-rounded in terms of both anecdotal, value-added responses, and then supporting that up with more data.
And Alfonso, I mean, just in a short radius here, I can go to the Dane County Farmers Market, huge. Just a few weeks ago, I was at the Baraboo Farmers Market, just one block, eight or nine stands, I think. I mean, do these have value despite the size, regardless of size?
Yeah, I think it's clearly the case that here in Dane County, you can go to 30-odd markets in any given week. And whether they're small corner markets, 8 or 10 vendors, or 100 or 200 vendors, they all have value according to that scale. Farmers markets, farmers know that they want to make money. And they're not going to go if they don't think they're going to make money. So markets are sort of self-scaling. They're only going to grow insofar as they have demand for their produce. But I believe in Wisconsin and elsewhere that the reason why markets continue to grow is because the consumers interested in markets, those numbers are continuing to increase.
Now, you can see the obvious economic side of it. I, the consumer, go. I get some produce. The farmer, hopefully, is making money. I guess otherwise they wouldn't show up at the farmer's market. Is there spillover effect to the local economy beyond me handing the farmer some money, them handing me some lettuce?
Right. That's a very good question. There's been some data collection and some analysis of the economic contribution farmers make to local economies. Unfortunately, that data has been what we call cross-sectional. It's been one point in time. It hasn't been particularly robust. It was good enough to open the door for more analysis, but could have been stronger. So there are two things going on that we can take advantage of. One is this project. This project is a longitudinal project. So Rob, you no one will remember, but you and I will remember our conversation mm-hmm. last year. And next year, in the months ahead, you know, when we go into year three of the project next year, I look forward to chatting again about the preliminary economic analysis we have. But a second and important thing is that some markets have data they've collected on their economic impact, and we have on their economic contribution. And I cannot tell you the numbers right now, but in a few days, I will have completed a draft report from one of our markets that has 14 years of economic data from that market. And they did not know what to do with it. And it's just exciting for us to be playing with that data, especially in the context of large national level interest in the value of local and regional food economies.
We're talking about the benefits of local farmers markets with Alfonso Morales and Lauren Seward from UW-Madison. They're part of a project trying to help communities measure what they get out of their markets in terms of economic growth, community building, and more.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you buy or sell at a local farmers market? How important is it to your community, to your local economy, to your ability to get fresh produce? And what's the impact of your local farmers market? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about farmers markets and their impact on communities with Alfonso Morales and Lauren Seward with UW-Madison. They're helping communities put some numbers on the economic impact of their local markets.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What does your local farmers market mean to you? As a consumer, as a producer, what does it mean to your community? And is it that place where you run into those people in your community that you only run into at the farmer's market? Call in at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Oh, we'll go right to a caller. We've got Laura on the line in Dubuque. Laura, hi.
Oh, hi.
Oh.
So a Dubuque market is 170 years old. It's Iowa's oldest continuous outdoor market. We have about 110 vendors this year, and for some of our vendors, that 5 hours every Saturday morning is their only contact with their means of support for their whole operation for the rest of the year. And without having a market for them to bring their products to the public, they wouldn't be a small business owner. So it's extremely important for our community to be able to have a market and for them to bring their products to consumers.
Laura, thanks so much for the call. Alfonso, you were nodding along there.
Laura, you put it so well. It is so important for folks to keep connected to the source of their food. And, you know, people nowadays celebrate that as the new thing. But folks like you, and, you know, I was raised on a farm ranch operation myself, those of us who come from agriculture recognize very well the importance of that connection and understanding the value of their work to the communities that they're part of. And I just thank you for putting it so well.
Laura, thanks a lot for the call. Well, she mentioned the sources of our food, and we hear talk about things like food deserts or lack of access to healthy foods. Lauren, are farmers markets part of that puzzle, giving people access to healthier eating?
That's what we're trying to find out. It is a great way to connect with the city in different ways, just because it is an informal environment and they can be in different locations throughout the community, and people can walk there, they can drive there. So trying to figure out how they're getting there is a big component of our research. And then also figuring out what they're buying and what they're buying the most of. So,
You know, just to tag on to that and how they're buying. One of the great things is that many markets, including the Dane County Farmers Market, but many markets around the country, allow folks on supplemental nutrition who have SNAP benefits to double the value of those benefits at farmers markets. So a person with $5 worth of benefits can buy $10 worth of produce, and markets around the country operationalize that in a number of interesting ways. Here in Dane County, we've done some work recently about how to enhance those opportunities for low-income consumers.
Go back to our callers now as we talk about the impact of farmers markets with Alfonso Morales and Lauren Seward. We have Michael on the line now in New Berlin. Michael, hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here for us. I really appreciate you. I love your show.
Thanks.
We have a farmers market in New Berlin that we go to every Saturday that we can as part of our Saturday ritual. During the summer, we get up, take the dogs for walks, stop by the market, see what's there, what's fresh. We talk to people, and they know us. They know our golden doodle and our standard poodle, and we walk through there, and it's just a wonderful way to connect with your community, get fresh produce, fresh products, and to kind of catch up in a community way to help your local community and help yourself to great products.
And, Michael, I am sure you see your neighbors there. Are you on a first-name basis now with the farmers who are selling there?
With several that we are. Several of them, they know us. We've actually had one of the farmers have brought their dogs. They have poodles as well, standard poodles, to our backyard and played with them. So they've come to our house, and it's like a family affair. It's wonderful.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing that story. A weekly ritual for him. Are the two of you in the data you're helping farmers markets collect, are you distinguishing between the Michaels of the farmers market world who are there every week versus the unique visitors? Or is there any way to even track that?
We try. Uh-huh. So we'll find out whether we can. But basically, the best way to do it is just by talking to the visitors that are there, whether that's informally or through more of a formal survey.
And that formal survey that Lauren's referring to is a first-time visitor survey. Several of the markets that we're working with do select one of the metrics to try and determine who's new at their market. So the markets that we're working with are collecting data on four common metrics, and then of the 37 in total that we've developed, they can elect several others to collect data on. And first-time visitor is one of those metrics.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Looking for your experiences of farmers markets, what do you think the value of your local farmers markets is to you, to your community? We go now to Robert in La Crescent. Robert, hi.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. We spent our winters in Florida and, of course, our summers up in La Crescent, Minnesota. But I find a great benefit to the consumer is the variety of vegetables that are available at the farmer's market and the quality. Of course, quality is number one. Today, when you go to an average store, you're dealing with these big conglomerates, and they have their specific suppliers all around the world, whether they're Ecuador or you name where. And they take whatever quality, not that they don't really evaluate it and pass inspection on it, don't get me wrong, but let's say as an example, in green onions in Florida, you can't get a decent-sized green onions because they buy them from one supplier, and the size of them are about a quarter inch in diameter. And I keep asking, why can't you get good quality green onions? Well, our supplier doesn't provide these for us. And that's the answer you would get from a conglomerate, where you can go to a farmer's market and you can basically get what you want.
Robert, thanks a lot for that call. Alfonso, do you think this is driving what seems to me to be a growth in interest in farmer's markets, this desire among consumers to have that stuff that is fresh, what they perceive as and maybe really is higher quality stuff?
Yeah, I think Robert really put his finger on it there. You know, 50 years ago, the food system produced relatively homogenous products. Everybody had pretty much the same thing and had kind of forgotten what their grandparents and parents had available to them. But we did. In the early 1970s, with the Dane County Farmers Market, the Berkeley Farmers Market in 1968, the Dane County in 72, those were harbingers. They started reintroducing folks to the value of locally produced food, to the diversity of that food. And so for the last 30 years, we've just seen increasing interest in that. And for reasons Robert puts, you know, the quality of the produce, how one can select exactly what they're getting, and what Michael and Laura pointed out, the relationships and whatnot, these callers are all identifying facets of markets that we're equally interested in.
And Lauren, I know part of the research is hoping to help markets market themselves to consumers. Mm-hmm. From what you've heard from people running these markets, Are they using this as a selling point, this desire for more fresh, higher quality produce, or are they seeing a potential to do that?
They already are. So they do a lot with Facebook, social media, and then they are also, so they're doing it at this point, and then we're also developing the hard data for them to really tangibly support that.
So I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about farmers markets in Wisconsin. You've referred to them some. Your research is nationwide. It seems to me, being in Wisconsin, that this is a big farmers market state. Do we, from what we know, do we have more farmers markets, more interest in farmers markets in Wisconsin, Alfonso?
Yes, it's interesting to point out that other research another student has done, Annie Roybal, who's now working at the University of Arizona, a student who I was fortunate enough to be associated with, her work on farmers markets in the state shows that the USDA count of farmers markets is about 20% short of the actual number of farmers markets in the state. So right off the bat, there's an undercount from a national level perspective. And second of all, her work was particularly interested in public health benefits of farmers markets, something we have not even touched on but could rehearse for at great detail. Here in Wisconsin, concern with both of those things is we're at the front of the nation in that regard.
So if, I don't know if you want to be too much of an advocate here, but if there are local planners, community leaders out there thinking of starting farmers markets, trying to boost what they have locally, can you make the case that, yeah, they should go ahead and do that?
Yes, but I would also suggest that they're the best observers of their local circumstances. You know, here at the university and at the system schools around the state, part of our job is to support them in evaluating their and so that's what we're here to do.
And Lauren, this project is going, just entering year two right now. How long is this intended to go on for?
Well, we have one more pilot year, and then we hope to be able to scale up our data collection instruments and the whole everything about our project up to more of like a national scale and make it available to a wider audience.
So this is going to be groundbreaking, and there's not a lot of data out there about farmers markets when it comes down to it.
No, unfortunately not. And the USDA last did a systematic enumeration in 1918.
1918.
So
nice,
yeah.
Almost 100 years.
Almost
probably
100
up
years.
To date. Right. All right. Well, Alfonso, thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Lauren,
thanks to you.
That was Alfonso Morales, Associate Professor of Urban and Regional Planning, and Lauren Seward, PhD candidate in Urban and Regional Planning. They're both at UW-Madison. We've been talking about their research on the impact of farmers markets.